Hello, everybody, and welcome along to the brand new Traction podcast. Today, in the first episode, we are going to be talking about rally gaming. And I have been joined today by Tom Harrison-Lord and Justin Sutton. Guys, how are you getting on?
Oh, really good. Happy to be here, John.
I'm doing fantastic. How about you?
Yeah, I am great. Thank you very much. I'm very excited to be talking about rally gaming because this is something I am hugely passionate about. Like, I have, ever since I've been a kid, I think rally gaming has been one of the biggest things for me since the Colin McRae series was out when I was young. And I think it's just been a big part of me throughout. And it kind of went through a phase where rally games were a little bit quiet, I think. But I feel like there's been recently quite a good kind of growth in it and it's coming back. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to talking about it. I mean, how is rallying for you guys? And, you know, have you been playing it since you were a kid as well?
After you, Justin.
That's a tough one. Rally games aren't quite as popular in America. I'm also 30 something years old. And when I was a kid, certainly the only like dirt based racing game was the one where it's like the top down, you know, and it's more like monster trucks than rally cars, really.
Oh, yeah.
Rally in America, especially in the 90s when I was a kid, they didn't really go together all that much. I mean, I played Sega Rally, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, I think Gran Turismo was my first real foray into rally racing. And, I don't even know if you can count that one.
Yeah, that's a good point. Is Gran Turismo a rally? I would say it's not a rally game, but it has some rally elements in it. Is that okay, Justin? Don't know. Offend you right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, it's got rally courses, but I mean, really a rally game? I don't know. I'm not so sure about that.
I feel like that's been a thing with lots of games, though, isn't it? Because, I mean, like, even I was playing Toka Race Driver 3 recently, and there's rally aspects to it. And I think a lot of games over the days, companies over the years have tried to incorporate rallying into road racing games. But I think I don't think you can capture it in quite the same way if you're applying it to, you know, a game that's not designed for rallying, because I think there's so many differences in terms of physics and stuff you've got to include. I mean, we're lucky being from the UK, Tom, because we obviously grew up with, you know, your PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2, Colin McRae Rally, and the whole culture behind rallying. You know, we had rallying on the TV all the time, the World Rally Championship. We had British drivers right near the top. So I feel like, you know, we were quite lucky in that sense that we got to grow up with that. And it did form a big part of my racing game childhood, to be honest.
Yeah, the 90s and the early noughties and the 80s as well, rallying was massively popular in Europe. All the top drivers were from Europe. There are some obvious exceptions, but there's never been a world championship winner from the United States of America. And I'm pretty sure the last WRC round that was in America was in the late 80s, the Olympus Rally. So a lot of that is the culture that we've grew up in comparison to you, Justin. But that's interesting, because it's interesting to see what you think of rally and how you look at it from a different perspective there, I guess.
We've had Rally Cross before. I didn't go, but I know for a fact that Coda hosted some Rally Cross. I didn't get to actually see it myself. But it's one of those things where, as I've gotten older and have been exposed to it, especially, you know, because of things like the internet, you get to be exposed to these things that you didn't get to see when before the internet existed and before YouTube and all those kinds of things.
Yeah, exactly. It's
something that I wish I was more into. Certainly when I play Forza, for example, Forza Horizon, I much prefer the rally races over the street races. I have way more fun on the loose surfaces than I do on tarmac.
And they've got some cool cars that have their lineage based in rallying in Forza Horizon 4. Even though it's like an open world game, you're driving on dirt. I guess the only difference, and I suppose we should clarify at this point, I think it's what Americans might call stage rally, but that's probably what we would call where you have, it's point to point and you have a co-driver giving directions. And I guess Forza Horizon doesn't have that. Gran Turismo doesn't have the directions, but there's at least the cars are on dirt and the cars were from rally originally. So there's some crossover there. And I guess that's mainly the difference between rally and rallycross. Is that fair to say, John?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's always been a big thing between, you know, what is rally and then what is, you know, dirt racing or something like that.
Yeah,
you know, I feel like, you know, stage rallying to, I think people from the EU mainly, we just think of rally as that. You know, if someone says rally, you're thinking Colin McRae, you're thinking Sebastian Loeb shooting through the Alps or wherever they might be. You're not really thinking of that as the kind of the Baja stuff, as the, you know, Land Rush type racing that you get. I think games have done a lot in recent years to kind of incorporate that side of things into, you know. I feel like a lot of the older rally games were more focused on what we would call like rallying with the stages and the co-driver. And then I think, you know, from maybe Colin McRae Dirt onwards, it probably, I think the world, or the European world of rallying was kind of opened up to that more outlandish style and I guess more action-packed style. I think that, you know, one of the big issues with rallying in general is, and we talked about this before, is a kind of lack of accessibility, really, because it's, you know, for people in the States, it's not that easy to get involved in or to watch. And I think that can kind of, I guess rallying, a big part about it is you and the car on the stage, right? It's about you know, being at one with with the elements. It's not necessarily an entertainment for other people. It's kind of a beautiful thing in itself. And I feel like, you know, in recent times with games and everything, they've tried to kind of bring that more action-packed kind of entertainment side to rallying. And to be honest, I don't mind that. I think it's opened up quite a nice kind of crossover between two different things.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also,
I was just going to say, I think a part of the reason that Americans don't like rallying as well is because there's no side-by-side stuff. You know, you're one at a time. Like, okay, it's been a few minutes, now the next person goes. That sort of stuff, I think, is a little bit alien to Americans.
Yeah, I think also, well, one thing they did try in recent years was integrating the rally cross with some rally drivers into the X Games. And actually, you know, John's mentioned Colin McRae many times. Well, one of the famous things he did post WRC career was an incredible race in America in the X Games, where he rolled this Subaru and then still carried on immediately. As soon as he was in first gear before he landed on the wheels again. And that, that gave him some popularity or of sorts, or notoriety even in America. But yeah, also the majority of the rallies are over in Europe or Asia. The WRC, like I say, hasn't had around in America. So yeah, but the Dirt Games did take some of that X Game element, especially Dirt 2 and Dirt 3, and try and wrap that in to appeal to a wider audience, I think.
Yeah. I mean, for me, with rallying, I think as a driver myself, you know, rallying as a sport is something that the enjoyment comes from the driving experience you get from it, right? So, like, when you think of rallying and wanting to try and drive a rally car up a stage, it's the fun of driving is the thing that's really exciting. It's not necessarily the competition. You know, when you're doing a rally event in real life, you're competing against everyone else, yes, and the times are something to keep an eye on, but you're running your own race at the same time. And wherever you end up in the stage or wherever you end up in the results, you then compare yourself to others and you can see where it's going. But I think that maybe the reason that the games have gone this way, and as I said before, I think it's for the better. I think it's probably because, you know, when you're just gaming and you're doing this on your own, you don't get the same enjoyment from driving as an experience as you would in real life, right? So racing games are good fun because you can do all the side-by-side racing and you can do a lot of the stuff you do in a real race, but just without the actual feelings of the sense of speed and as much of the adrenaline and stuff like that. But a lot of elements of racing can be translated onto a sim or a game. Whereas with rallying, I feel like, you know, a lot of those elements are lost because I think rallying is a scary sport. I think it's terrifying. I think it's you versus nature and the elements and you and your co-driver alone in the forest. And I feel like those are the kind of aspects that don't translate well to games, which is probably why a lot of companies went down that direction. And to be honest, in my opinion, I think that's actually made people appreciate stage rallying more, because I feel like, you know, we've had a lot of this side-by-side racing and the kind of rallycross coming into it and a lot of the kind of X game style stuff, which is huge fun. You know, I think we can all agree.
Yeah.
I like Dirt 3, both. Dirt 2, fantastic, great fun games. Mm-hmm. But I think that then, you know, when Codemasters, for example, went back to Dirt Rally and went back to a raw rally experience, it suddenly made it feel that bit more special, because it was like, it was just something, there's just some magic about it. I can't quite explain it. But yeah, I do feel like...
But also a lot more difficult.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, how many of us have got through a stage in the first attempt without, you know...
My first stage in Dirt Rally, like first corner actually just rolled off the stage. And I was like, well, this is how this is going to be going, apparently.
I think of it as like the Dark Souls of racing games.
Yes.
You know, very, very difficult. But when 100%. You actually do succeed, it feels great. Yeah.
Exactly, right? So it's so rewarding, right? Because, you know, it's... Yeah. For me personally as well, I've got, you know, a bit of a thing for these, for the like Dirt Rally's original specifically, which is a game that I know Justin's played. When I first started playing that game, that actually made me fall in love with the real sport of rallying more than I had ever before. And it got me really, really keen to do a rally in real life. And it was just because I just loved the challenge of it. You know, I felt like as someone who's done a lot of circuit racing and have played a lot of sim racing games, you want you know, a lot of the time in career modes and stuff, you just want something that's really challenging. And I feel like the Dirt Rally game, when I actually went up even against AI and did a full rally or through the campaign season or whatever, it just made me really want to go and watch real life rallying and try and, you know, experience some of that, where you don't have to drive your fastest all the time to win. You've got to be conservative. You've got to play it safe, and it'll work in the long run. And that whole to and fro where you can lose time with a mistake and gain it back, it just got me so excited, and I really wanted to go and do it. And from that, I went back and watched all the 90s rallies, watched the Group B stuff from the 80s as much as I could.
It
really ignited my passion
where,
for the real sport.
Where did you watch this? Can I watch it?
Oh, YouTube.
Absolutely.
It's all on YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, we could have a podcast in itself about every single freaking video on YouTube that you can go and watch. Yeah. Oh, so if you're into rally, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll send you a lot of links after this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what I do want to talk about a wee bit is, you know, what the current state of rally gaming, because I feel like, you know, this has all been spawned by the release of Dirt 5, which is kind of one of the most recent big games to come out. And I think that for me, Dirt 5 highlighted the fact that this particular franchise has gone down two very separate routes, right? Because we've been talking about the rally stage rallying route, and we've been talking about the kind of, I guess, the, what would you call it, the X Games style freestyle rally stuff that you get. Okay, and I feel like what's happened is they brought all of the fun stuff and the energetic stuff into rally games. And then there was like a bit of a clash of the two. And then I think to make either one stand out as a good game and to be able to put full effort into either one, I think what's happened is they've had to kind of split up again, and full games have had to focus on one or the other discipline. And that's caused a lot of friction, I think, with rally gaming fans, because, you know, people enjoy both. Some people enjoy one and not the other, you know, and you can imagine, you know, sim racers maybe enjoy the hardcore stuff and more arcade fans enjoy the kind of more extreme stuff where it's a bit more about freestyle and everything. So I feel like this game is really the defining moment where these two paths have completely split again and we've gone two different directions. But I don't know what you guys think of it. I mean, you've played a bit of Dirt 5, Tom. What do you think?
I enjoyed Dirt 5, but it's not a rally game because it doesn't have any rallying in it. You know, it's circuit racing on mud, which is slightly different in my opinion. So I think it's quite an enjoyable game for what it is, and it's very accessible, and it will get a completely different audience to Dirt Rally 2, and I'm okay with that. I'm fine with them being two more separate things. But I would say in terms of the current state of rally games, Dirt Rally 2.0 was out in the last couple of years and has been constantly updated. I think it just probably received its most recent sort of final car at the end of 2020. And then there was WRC9, which is the official licensed game of the World Rally Championship, which is the peak of the sport in real life. And that was the first good one in probably about 10 years. So actually, there's some really good energy and movement behind rally games. But at the same time, they're probably a little less accessible than they ever have been, because now, like you say, the main one, the Dirt franchise, is separated into two different paths. So you won't get necessarily someone going, Dirt 5 looks really cool, and then, oh, they might actually get into rally in a stealth kind of way. Mm. It's very clear and defined now. So, but the actual rally games are very good. Two separate purposes,
right. Right. So, and that kind of locks you out. You know, it takes away that opportunity of, I'm going to buy the game for the arcade stuff, and that's going to get me into the sim stuff.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Agree so more. There isn't... Yeah, there's only sim rally games at the minute.
Yeah.
Which is great for sim fans, but it's not so good in terms of broadening the appeal of the sport.
Absolutely. I mean, if we go back to some of the games, you know, that we've seen that kind of tried to bring the two sides together. So your likes of Dirt 3 is one I always come back to, because for me, I just love that game. Yeah. So like, always, you can shut me up whenever you want.
Yeah, me too.
It's such a good game. And I think the reason it is such a good game is because it brings people from both sides and they can both have fun. But as you say, it introduces one to the other. So from my perspective, Dirt 3 introduced me into Gymkhana. Dirt 3 introduced me into the X game style stuff that could be really fun, and I did really enjoy it. But at the same time, a lot of people would have come in there that just enjoy their mad cars and their 600 horsepower Subarus doing jumps, and then they would have found that stage rallying was actually enjoyable too in its own challenge. And I feel like what happens when you split the games down two separate paths, for each of the people that are so far down one end of the scale, it's fine, because I feel like, you know, for a sim racer, they're going to enjoy one game, and an arcade fan who hates stage rallying is going to enjoy the other. But what it doesn't do is allow that crossover. It doesn't, you know, bring in new people, because it's, you know, it's so polarizing. Dirt Rally 2.0, for someone who isn't you know, really like has a really good car control, to put it simply, is just going to struggle with it and not really enjoy it. And you don't have that compromise there with it, you know, it, because even with all your damage turned off and stuff, you're still going to be putting it into the trees every third corner. No matter how much experience you've got, to be fair. But, you know, I can imagine if you weren't experienced in it, I think it's going to be pretty tough. So, you know,
even if you are experienced, you're upside down quite a lot. So I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah. Like, I think it's good for the extremes, but I'm just not so sure it's the best thing for rally games moving forward to bring new people into the sport.
Yeah, I agree. And also, I just think that it's not so much the driving in some respects, I feel. It's the concept of pace notes is really alien in comparison. It's the only racing game where someone else is telling you which direction, and you have to correlate. Well, a six, is that quick? A one, is that slow? Or they might have some other terms. And so that's a barrier to entry. But then when you get in the flow, very little for me feels as good as a good rally game. That's where it's at, in my opinion. So,
do you guys actually know, do you know the notes quite well? Like, when you hear it in your head, when you're playing, does it just translate automatically? Because for me, like, if you tell me one corner, if you say this corner is coming up, I'm like, oh, sweet. I know exactly what you're saying. But when he starts getting into the thing, I'm like, oh, wait, which one was next again? And I start getting lost.
It takes time, and you've got to build up. And that's what will put a lot of people off. But the pro rally drivers will hear a note two or three corners ahead. So they're turning around like a right-hand hairpin. The co-driver's reading out about the straight and the next corner. And in the rally games like Dirt and WRC, you can change how early or late you hear the pace notes. Mm-hmm. So it could be adjusting that might help you out a bit. But then who even knows to go in that setting and adjust that from the start, right? But over time, you basically get the better you get, the earlier you have the pace notes, so that you can set the car up two corners ahead so that you don't crash. That's the skills, basically.
Absolutely. And to be fair, that I think that's been a big part of rally game. Like, for me, growing up with actual stage rallying games, I learned that as a kid, you know, and it wasn't through deliberate, or it was just through experience of playing these games. You get so used to pace notes that eventually they really do make a difference. And I think they really come into it when you start being competitive and when you start trying to beat, you know, world records or trying to, you know, race competitively, which I think is becoming a bigger thing with rallying. I think esports is definitely opening up to rallying in general. But I do feel you know, things like pace notes to those who are new to it, it's going to sound like a total mess and it's going to be very confusing. But as soon as you get used to it, it becomes like an absolutely crucial part. And I think that a huge part of the enjoyment as well, you know, I think the more experience I get with rallying, the further I move forward the pace notes. So there are two or three corners before, and then you can kind of, you know what's coming a lot more. You can prepare for it in advance. And it, to be honest, it does make it very enjoyable, even on some games like Richard Burns Rally, which I definitely want to talk about in a minute. We'll come to that. But adjust your pace notes. So you can effectively do a recce run where you drive the stage slowly, adjust the pace notes to suit you, and then go and attack the stage. So, you know, I think that,
I'd love that to be in more rally games. There's a couple of stages in particular in some of the recent Dirt 2 Scottish DLC, which I'm sure you're a big fan of, John. And
you can see his house.
Yeah, right. It's on the map.
There's a car on right now, actually.
Yeah, and there's somewhere I personally was like, well, for my driving, that is not a one or a two tight corner. Like, the note was too quick, and I was like, no, this needs to be a slow corner, otherwise I just go straight off the edge. And I wish I could pause the game and edit it. And Richard Burns Rally, you could do that. But I was just going to ask Justin, are you good at multitasking?
Sometimes. I guess it depends on the task.
Yeah, right. True. Well, with the pace notes eventually just become like, you absorb them, you don't listen to them.
It's like learning a new language. You know, when you're first learning a new language, you have to hear the sentence and then you have to process it. But then as you learn the language more and more, it hear it and process it simultaneously. Right. And you're not thinking about it. It just becomes automatic. It does. Weirdly, I think the thing that I've played that translates the most to that, this is going to sound really weird, is Dance Dance Revolution. Because I used to play a lot of Dance Dance Revolution. But yeah, when you're staring at the screen, you're like, okay, I got to do this, and then I got to do this, and then I got to do this. But you're thinking about every step. And then eventually, once you play long enough, you could just see that stream of arrows going on, and your feet just kind of move correctly. Yeah. I assume it's the same way with the rally notes. Eventually, you hear it, And it just becomes like English. You know, you're just like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Exactly that. Dirt Rally 2.0 is basically Dance Dance Revolution dirt. You
know, with like a wheel. With a wheel.
Totally right, though. It's muscle memory, a lot of it. And I think it's reaction. Yeah. So, you know, I'm used to hearing, you know, if it's a six left or a six right, it's probably flat out unless you're doing 200 miles an hour, which you're not going to be doing.
Yeah,
if it's a one or two, it's a hairpin. Keep and everything in between, you get used to it with, you get into the flow of a certain rally as well. So, like, maybe if you're racing on tarmac, a four right might be a really fast corner, whereas a four right on gravel might be a bit slower, and you kind of just naturally get used to what's going on, really. I think also the best thing about pace notes is they're a great excuse, right? Because, you know, you get to that same corner that gets you every time, you flip your car over the cliff, and it's so easy to blame Phil Mills or blame Nicky Grist on the game for getting it wrong. They get a lot of stick in esports forums and stuff for causing crashes, and I'm with them on that. I totally agree. It's their fault. No, actually, speaking of esports, obviously, you know, we've seen rallying making a move towards esports recently. We've had the likes of the Dirt World Series finals and everything coming up, and I think, you know, obviously it's totally different to circuit racing esports. It's maybe going to be a bit more tricky to watch for most people, but I think there's a lot of scope for it to be entertaining. I don't know about you guys, but I love the idea of sitting down and watching, you know, six of the best in the world fighting it out on a stage and just seeing the differences and how on edge the cars are going to be. I think that's really exciting.
Depends on how it's done for me. I think there's a lot of potential there, and how it evolves will be really interesting to follow. I'd really like to tune into a broadcast that's like watching the actual rallies in real life, where one car sets off 2 minutes ahead of the other. So then you get all the times coming in, you know, one after each other, and you don't quite know who's going to be quickest. And you can look at the split times and be like, oh, they're up there and they're down there. So that's what it needs to go towards. I feel like at the minute, most of the, even like the WRC esports events, all the drivers sort of set off at the same time. Which maybe that's a technological limitation to that, but in real life rally it is one after each other, and maybe you can and there's a slight overlap, so maybe they can improve and tweak on that for the future.
You would almost need an open world game, right, to pull that off. You would almost need like a Forza Horizon game where you have like cameras set up along the stage, and you have literally all the cars lined up, and you say, "All right, your turn."
That would be so good.
That would be great, and I also think though in real life, as much as I love it, rail rallying has got some challenges in terms of, in the UK, I'm going a bit local here, but there's forestry commissions that charge more than ever to close down forest roads. So therefore it's more expensive to run a rally. Therefore the insurance for the competitors is higher than ever. Then we've got things like, it's really not a sport that's adaptable at the minute for the electrification. You know, Formula E electric cars can do a circuit, but a rally car has to go flat out over this long stage. Then it has to drive to the next stage. Then it has to do another. They're driving for the full day, so there's big challenges. So with all these challenges coming on, esports rallying, if it's done well, can be more important than ever. I'm not going to say it's going to replace rallying, but I'm saying it's going to place in the market, and it should become more popular, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Tom. You know, I think there's not really been a rally game that's properly implemented the world of rallying outside of the stage, right? So there's a big thing. You've got your service areas. You've got to, I mean, these guys get up at 4 a.m. sometimes to drive for 3 hours to the start of stage one, which starts at 7 a.m. Yep. They've got to do their time control correctly. They do the stage. They finish the stage. They've then got to drive along the road using the no sat nav, you know, using maps or co-driver jumps in. Yeah, eat a sandwich. Well, unless you're crossing over to Holland, in which case you'll get it nicked off you.
But, that's not good.
But yeah, like there's no game that's really implemented that fully. Obviously you wouldn't want to implement it fully, because we don't all want to sit there driving for 2 hours down the road.
There could be some mechanic involved into like your timing of getting to the stage okay, or the tiredness of the drivers, the fatigue. There's something that could be worked on there.
Yeah, like a
cut scene. I don't have the idea right now.
A cutscene where you have to follow the map, or just showing you where on the map you're going to the next stage, what time of day it is, a little. Just any kind of engagement in between, I think, would be really cool for a rally game.
And if rally drivers get caught speeding in between the stages, they're out of the event. It doesn't happen very often, but it's a big part of the sport. And there are times between how they get from one stage to the other, so that it's not you know, breaking the law and stuff. So there's all sorts to... But perhaps not the most thrilling part of the rallying, but then, hey, people play Autobahn Simulator, don't they? Or truck simulators and stuff like this. So
it's true. We just drive the speed limit. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there would definitely need to be something to keep it enjoyable, or at least the options to play around with so someone can turn it off. But I mean, that brings me on to something I wanted to talk about. what would you guys say is definitively, if you can define it, you know, the best rally game, or what makes a rally game brilliant? I'll maybe start with you, Tom. What would you put forward as some of your favorite rally games of all time, and why?
Goodness, that is a difficult question. Many, many, many. There's one that has a special place in my heart, and that is the first Colin McRae rally game on PlayStation, the first one by Codemasters, because that was basically the first decent rally game on a home console, and it sort of broke through and sold well to people who never heard of rallying. It's often said that Colin McRae was a real rally driver, but a lot of people just thought he was a made-up character for the game name, and so that just shows how popular it was. So that was great. That's got to be in my favorite games, because technically and graphically now it doesn't hold up at all, you know, but it's what it represented. And because of that, a load of other rally games appeared on the market and tried competing. And then I think, Dirt 2 and Dirt 3, they're games that are on the PlayStation 3/Xbox 360 era. They were both really good. There's a lot of fans for both. I err on the side of Dirt 3 because the stage rally was better than Dirt 2, but Dirt 2 was more fun in other areas. I understand that debate. I appreciate it, but Dirt 3 is better. And then the pinnacle, the hardcore rally sim, is probably just Dirt Rally 2. But what I would say about that is, upon launch, I wasn't a huge fan of the DLC pricing and structure, but if you can find the complete version for a good price, that's excellent, because you get all the stages of Dirt Rally 1, but with better graphics. You get all these new cars, and you get this amazing Colin McRae tribute DLC, which is worth it for the sound of one of the Subarus alone. But the final point I would say is that the latest WRC game is the best one in a while. I've already said that. And the actual car handling in that is excellent. So they could really build that into something great this coming year or the year after. Flip side, Codemasters has got the WRC license from, is it 2022, 2023? So the current developer of the WRC game has just finally broken through with a great one. And actually, it's already been taken away from him in some respects. So it's going to be interesting to see how that develops. Yeah.
What's your thoughts, Justin?
That's unfortunate. So my big experience with rally games is with the original Dirt Rally, is I would say the one that I've spent the most time with. Again, I have lots of loose surface racing experience with Forza Horizon 3 and Forza Horizon 4, but those aren't rally games. But I did really like it. And I do really like the physics of Horizon 3 and Horizon 4, just because it is ultra accessible. You can do it on a controller and have a great time. You can also, you know, chuck on a wheel like I've done for the majority of my hours, which is hundreds between the two of them. Between 3 and 4, I've spent probably 400 or 500 hours. And almost all of that is loose surface racing, if I'm honest. Like, it's just really, it's really forgiving and yet rewarding at the same time. I think they've really struck a nice balance over there. But I will say, I did really, really like the career mode aspect, the in-depth nature of Dirt Rally, having to manage repairs and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I thought was really, really good. That's not something that I've experienced before. I haven't played any of the WRC games. I did hear bad things about the previous ones, though. You know, like when WRC, I think 8 came out. I was really excited pre-release. I was like, oh, maybe this will be the one that I buy. And then people told me, don't want to do that.
There was a rough patch there, because I think on the PlayStation 2 era, Evolution Studios, WRC as a license was exclusive to PlayStation, but only in the PAL region. I don't think, apart from the first one, WRC 2, 3, 4, or Rally Evolved, the fifth, were available in America. I could be wrong there.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Fact checking me in the comments or on Twitter or something.
At least on console. On Steam, it would be region free. So yeah, on Steam, you would be able to get any game at all from any country ever. But yeah, on consoles,
Well, that was a Sony exclusive, so it didn't come to PC even.
Right. Oh yeah, good PS2. Point.
And after that, Milestone, the Italian developer, had the WRC license. It was on every console in every region, and it was a bit ropey. And then when you mentioned WRC 8, I think that could have been the first one, or was it 7, around that time when it switched development houses again, and they had a very short period of time to get up to speed. So, yeah, there were rough times, so they were only for hardcore WRC fans, because the gameplay wasn't that great. But for me, it was like, oh, I get to play my favorite driver. But that
you have the licensed content. Right.
Yeah, you've got the license content. Yeah.
That's what I mean. I found that experience with WRC. I think I bought WRC 6 or 7. I can't. It shows you how much I cared about it.
Someone has at some point because they're already sale, right?
Right. So I bought it because it was probably like £1 on Steam. And it was cool because I got to drive as Robert Kubica, you know, when he did his rallying experience, and I got to drive real guys. And by that point, I'd already been playing a lot of the Codemasters non-licensed games. So it was nice to see that. But the physics were so off-putting that after two or three stages of attempts, I think I never played the game again. And it was,
Were you on a wheel?
Just such a shame. I was on a wheel, and it should have been good, and it wasn't. And it was really disappointing because I was thinking to myself, you know, if you could just combine what we've got with Dirt Rally and Dirt Rally 2.0, with this licensing and with this idea of a career mode that developed, you know, you start off in WRC3, you can join teams, move up to WRC2. All that was so exciting to me that it was just such a shame that these two different games that both had such good parts in one area were kind of, I guess the other part really didn't complement it in that sense. And it'd be really good if the two of them could be together. I think that's what's such a good thing about, you know, the fact that WRC9 has been such a hit. I think they've really got themselves together. They've sorted the physics out. And for me, you know, it's a funny one because it's finally beginning to, I guess, oppose Codemasters, the Dirt Rally series, as a top level rally sim.
Yeah, and now credible threat.
We'll take that back. You know, we'll have the license. So, you know, I do think it'll be interesting to see what comes from those two in the near future. For me, though, in terms of talking about best rally games ever.
Yeah.
Obviously, I need to give a big shout out to the Dirt Rally series, as we have done. You know, I think, as I said earlier, Dirt Rally is the thing that got me involved in real life rallying, or got me interested in it to the point where I was watching hours and hours and hours of content, and still do to this day.
Yeah.
And I think I've got that game to thank for it. But the one game I need to talk about a lot, you know, here needs to get a massive mention because not enough people really know about it, and not enough people know how good it still is. And that's Richard Burns Rally. You know, this game was released in, I think, 2002 or 2003, and you play other games from that era and you think, oh, they're okay for their age and stuff, but they're nothing like games today. And I'm telling you right now, if you get the right setup with Richard Burns Rally, and you get Richard Burns Rally Pro or one of these mods that the guys have done for them, it is still the best rally sim out there in terms of the physics, the amount of stages. And I'm telling you, like, as soon as I thought Dirt Rally 2.0 was it for me. I was like, this is great. We finally got a rally sim that feels like a sim in the same way that, you know, R-Factor iRacing, Assetto Corsa feel like a sim on the road stuff. And I went and refound Richard Burns Rally, and I will bat all day for it. You know, come at me and I will fight you off, because that game is sensational. And the fact that you can still get, it's just the physics feel so real. The cars handle exactly like you'd expect. The old 80s cars feel heavy and powerful and just a bit leery, and the more modern cars feel so refined. And the F-Mod are now in charge of a lot of the sounds with it. They're developing sounds for the cars, so the sounds are basically like a 2020 game. And the problem with it is it's just not accessible, because you need to know about how to download it and get all these mods for it. And there's so much fiddling around with it, right? And it's a 2003 game, so it's not designed to have a modern user interface or anything. But as soon as you get on the stage and you're sitting on the start line, it's even VR compatible now. You sit there and you're ready to go, and oh wow, at the end of the stage you just sit there and go, this cannot be beaten.
Have you done it in VR?
Yes. Yeah.
And
I never did it because I was so scared. it was really good. So the problem again with that, Justin, is exactly the same as the rest of the game, is the accessibility, because running it in VR requires you to change all the settings and get everything going. And as soon as you take the headset off, the game crashes, because it's a 2003 game that's people have put some time into adapting things for, right? So if you were to have the accessibility of like Dirt Rally 2.0 with the raw physics gameplay content of a modded version of Richard Burns Rally from 2003, it would just be such a good game. It would be phenomenal. And I really urge for anyone listening that's a real rally game fan that might not, you know, might have just thought the fight was between WRC 9 and Dirt Rally, please go and look this up, you know, Richard Burns Rally Pro, and just find out about it. Because, I promise I'm not affiliated with it in any way. I know none of the guys that are involved in it, but I just absolutely love it. I think it's amazing.
But can I just ask, so Richard Burns Rally Pro, am I correct in thinking that, you know, there was never a sequel, right? So the people who are modding the game and doing the pro version of VR games, you know, how are they making a business out of that? And is that legitimate? I agree that Richard Burns Rally is amazing, but it's amazing because the original physics were great. But then, unfortunately, there was never a sequel. Not enough people bought it originally, and it's the modding scene over the years that's sort of kept the community going, right? Is that fair to say?
Well, kind of, yeah. I mean, I don't know how much we can go into it in this podcast and the details. I don't know the details that much, but yeah, I know that there is a group of people working on developing it, and it works on a donation basis. So you can get this for free. You know, anyone can download Richmond Rally Pro for free, and you can choose to donate. And trust me, if it was £50 to get it and you're paying a full game price, I would pay it twice. You know, I actually got my VR headset in some ways for this game. It's that good. Wow. And I just think that, you know, obviously, so they work on donations and they do what they can, but they're not... It's not been set up as a new game that's been launched. You know, it doesn't have modern day technology driving it and the physics engine and everything. So there's only so much you can do with it. But I just feel like if someone was to remake that game, the potential of it is phenomenal. And the fact that it's, you know, a game that's now 17 years old still stacks up better than most of its rivals. I just think it's one of the greatest achievements in gaming that not many people know about. There's just not that many people on it.
I guess not people so much. It is a very niche product. And I guess because it's not like officially sanctioned or there was never a sequel, there's no marketing behind it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So although I understand that like Richard Burns Rally is such a phenomenal game, I'm also fully aware that it's not necessarily the most accessible for people because it's so difficult, you know, and as you've probably found out yourself, Tom, if you've tried it. It's not easy at all. So, if you're looking at the best rally game of all time, I'd say that's the one for your hardcore racers that want to be screaming and punching walls and throwing themselves through the door in pain. And if you don't want that, I think then it comes down to the likes of Dirt 3 is a brilliant amalgamation of rally disciplines, or it comes down to Dirt Rally or Dirt Rally 2.0. I think that's, from my point of view, that's kind of where I stand with it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They're the ones, and if you find a good deal in WRC9 and want something that's not made by Codemasters and Current, then give it a shot, because that's also pretty good these days.
Or play Forza Horizon 4, right, Justin?
Justin.
If you've already got Forza, give it a go. I have several rally courses. They're not really, because there's no stages or whatever, but I have like a 26-mile-long dirt rally course. So if you know my Xbox username, look it up, because I'm not going to say it.
Oh, no.
I would also, at this point, give a massive shout-out to the potential of a game called BeamNG, but I think we'll be here for another hour, so we'll cover that in another podcast. In the meantime, guys, I guess that's been a general discussion about the state of rallying and rally sims and rallying in gaming, and I think we can all agree, we need that in motorsport racing games. I think it's a hugely important discipline, and I think it provides everyone with a good escapism and a lot of fun. So I think the future's bright for rally gaming, I think brighter than ever before, which is really nice. So thank you so much for joining me. We've had Tom Harrison-Lord and Justin Sutton. Thank you guys so much. In the meantime, guys, don't forget to subscribe to the Traction channel, hit the notification bell, and obviously like the video. Let us know what you agree with, let us know what you disagree with. Please be sure to shout all sorts of abuse at us in the comments down below. But that's been it for now. My name's John Monroe. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye.